Hello and welcome to the Revisiting Old Favourites podcast in the Inner Sanctum. Thanks as always for joining me. And we're continuing this journey through the Shire, through Merry England, reading my book of that title, Merry England, A Journey Through the Shire, available from Tan Books for those of you who want to purchase a copy. And we continue today with Chapter 2, Ely. I had known the Ouse. How many years ago? I had looked up at those towers of Ely from my boat. But a town from a river and a town from the street are two different things. Hilaire Belloc. Little has changed since Hilaire Belloc described his return to Ely how many years ago, and many still enjoy the adventure of looking up at the towers of Ely from their boats. Unfortunately, it is an adventure I have not enjoyed. Neither, until recently, had I seen the towers of Ely from the street. My only view had been from the confines of a railway carriage en route from Norwich to York via Peterborough. Yet this confined space, this cell, offered a panoramic view of four of Christendom's finest cathedrals. All one had to do was sit still and let time do the rest. And while one rested in the time, the panorama became a paradox. How many men had seen the universe from the confines of a cell, especially a monastic cell? Eventually, I had the opportunity to leave the cell and approach the Cathedral of Ely along the same streets that Hilaire Belloc and countless other pilgrims had trod. I had left a soul transitory train and had joined a transcendental train of souls. I had left time and joined eternity. Yet still the mind was reminded of the temporary accident in which it found itself. It was constantly presented with the present, to the detriment of the ever-present. If the meaning of Ely, its spirit, was essentially timeless, reminders of the accident that had befallen it were timely. The first impression one gets of Ely is something that might mistakenly be called quaint. It is a village city, a hamlet on a hill overlooked by one of the world's greatest cathedrals. Cows graze in the very shadow the cathedral casts. It is idyllic. It is sublime. It is not so much quaint, however, as quintessentially apt. Ely is a city not because of its size, but because of its authority. It is a bishop's seat, the seat of one of those apostles appointed by Christ to teach and govern his church. It is in a very real sense a seat of God's government. For this reason, and this reason alone, Ely is a city. Perhaps, since our Lord was born in a stable and laid in a manger, it is singularly appropriate that his seats of authority should be humble hamlets rather than all-consuming conurbations governed by greed and puffed up with pride. Ely shouldn't be the exception, but the rule. All cities should be villages. Unfortunately, the impression one gets of the cathedral itself is one of desecration. King Henry's deformation has a lot to answer for, not least the defamation of the saints and the violation of the Virgin in the vandalised Lady Chapel. Here, in one of the world's largest side chapels dedicated to the Mother of God, the statues of numerous saints stand decapitated. Only one solitary statue, hidden from view, escaped this slaughter of the innocents, a striking reminder of the one child who, protected by his mother, escaped the original slaughter 16 centuries earlier. Since Ely also has the dubious distinction of being the home of Oliver Cromwell, a modern-day Herod, one observes with wry humour that this one statue escaped this one roundhead, especially as one roundhead translates anagrammatically as a Herod undone. Neither is this the only joke posterity has played on poor Cromwell. Outside the house in which he lived stands a statue of this opponent of all idolatrous images. Inside the house, which now serves as a tourist information centre, pilgrims purchase postcards and little statues, idolatrous trinkets, to take home as souvenirs. Before entering the house, an Irish friend had refused to be photographed by the graven image of the anti-hero who had butchered so many of her fellow countrymen. For my part, I entered cheerfully, crossed myself, said a Hail Mary for the roundhead soul, and browsed in cavalier fashion through the ephemera on sale in what was probably once his bedroom. Thus the Divine Comedy continues. And if the comedy continues, what else has the Joker in store? Since, as a prophet, I am at a loss, I dare at hazard a guess. Yet a certain fanciful notion, a vision that I fancy the cathedral's architect had seen, fills me with delight. Suppose the Isle of Ely really became an island again. Suppose sea levels rose so that the fens once more became awash with the wash. Suddenly, the architect's vision became my vision also. Ely Cathedral has been built on the only hill for miles around. The architect had dreamed not of an island in the sun, but of an island to the sun. A cathedral in the middle of the sea. As I left Ely by train, I dreamed of the day when its towers could only be seen by boat. As this quixotic sentiment subsided, a vision of Louis XIV emerged. Après moi, le déluge. Mais après le déluge. Thanks so much for joining me this week as we continue our journey through the Shire of Merry England. Until next week, thanks so much as always for joining me. Goodbye and God bless.